guys running one this weekend?
I might try to go to the one in Bellevue. I'm not sure I can see.
I'm headed down to Austin.
Oh,
and I'll be doing one with Terry, but we'll be tying in for a short period with a video feed back and forth between the two. Because I think...
Austin?
Well, then Jan in North Carolina is going to be... Jan Davis is going down to speak in North Carolina, too.
Oh, wow.
So that's what we're going to be starting to move toward. I really believe that our leadership team, in order to become the leadership team that you all need to be, we're going to move toward having you out on the speaking circuit. And there are a lot of really interesting pieces as I work with Terry that we're putting together. And so we might as well share them here as well as anyone. I want to get started this three-month period on launching out and getting this thing up and running. We've been waiting for the network, the wellness network, to be downloadable, because if you have XP, it downloads pretty okay. If you have Vista, you have to go through 9 other steps, but nobody knows exactly sure which ones those are. If you have Apple, it's another series of steps. And many times, if you have, can't remember what it was, but it's something that blocks them all from coming in. So that's not a very useful tool.
Yeah.
This week, I guess last week, they were endeavoring to have it up, but I haven't looked to see how you can find it. I did look on Wellness Network today, but want to find the ability to access it online so that you just turn on your computer and you can be in it. If you have had any of these struggles downloading, at least you can use the parts. And there are parts that we will definitely be taking a look at and using. And the one that Terry is very interesting as he jumps into this. He is using immense leadership skills and sort of assuming that the back office stuff is being done. And if you've got frustrations with it, deal with it. And the team seems to be doing very well with that, and I think a little bit because Terry is something of an unconscious competent.
Yeah.
So that he's very competent and he does what needs to be done, but if he had to describe all the options of what it was that made him competent, he couldn't do that. And he's tending to create leadership within his leadership. And that's a fascinating proposition that not very many people can pull off to that extent. So now we have to come up and match him. And to the degree that that's his skill set, that he does that falling off log, why not use his expertise in that process? He's chosen to use my expertise from a medical standpoint / explanation teaching standpoint. So be it. If those are my areas of expertise, then I shouldn't be trying to be a person who's so managerial that has everything picked out and all the last-minute details and working 3 months in advance and notifying people and doing the communication pieces. I can contribute to that, but those are weak skill sets. I don't really care, so I don't really, they don't show up on my radar screen till too late. So let's go back to the basic root. I'm talking about moving continents around. I feel like I'm playing the game of Risk. You guys are forming your first volunteer army in some remote valley in Siberia and Valley Forge. So I don't want to jump too far ahead of where you're at. I want to go to where your needs are. And I don't want to bias those needs. That's what I'm seeing as much as anything when working with Terry, is that he's providing places for people to come and to move forward and to use materials as they see they need them. doing it for them, or not making them feel like they're on the wrong track because they're on their track. So with that being said, Russell, if you were to say the number one thing you need to enhance, I'll give you a clearer picture. If you were to push from now to 3 months from now to platinum, just that was the mandate, and that was just what you had decided to do.
Okay.
Where do you see the needs right now that you would begin to have to fill in if that was what your mandate was?
Frontline partners. New frontline partners.
How many?
Objective to go gold.
How many would you want?
At least 6 new ones.
Okay. I'm going to give you a really interesting self-evaluation, a picture that finally come to me. I've got three platinums. And they're, do you guys, either one of you know what the two most difficult rank advancements in NECAN are?
Gold and diamond.
Precisely, and what's the difference? Or why are those two different and more difficult than the others?
I think people think when they get to silver, they just happen to park themselves and not know how they got there and what to do to help other people get to the same point. For one, I would say going to diamond is too many people get complacent or satisfied it may be gold and silver. Don't keep pushing. Maybe I'm all wrong.
No, I think you're pretty darn close to it. Can you see how there's a very, very different skill set and different jobs required to become a person who makes a silver distributorship as opposed to a person who makes a gold distributorship?
What do you mean? Say it again.
What are the differences in things that a person needs to do to make a silver distributorship as opposed to someone who makes a gold distributorship?
Going to silver, a person is focusing on themselves more so than gold and above. You're focusing on other people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crux of it, really. And in silver, you're just producing volume. You have to have your seniors in the right place, and sometimes that is a slow process, and over the course of history, people get those three seniors legged out. And then if one person goes nuts, or if you just go out and do volume, you can become a silver. What's different about a gold than that?
It's not about volume, it's about helping others reach their volume you need.
Yeah. And you can see that that's still one level deep, though, because they're basically reaching volume. When you get to diamond, you get the platinum doing the same things over again that you did as a gold, right? You just get three more. But if you, so you could get 6 silvers. But if you go to making 3 golds, you're creating a different person than you're creating when you create silvers. Does that make sense, Steve? So if your intent, this all comes down to intent, what do you intend to make? So one thing that struck me when we were doing our presentations on our level fours, you would identify how do you want to go diamond, or how do you want to go platinum, do you want to go silver or gold? Those are very, very different skill sets. So you'd start with a different foundation. You'd start with a different recruiting mechanism. You'd start with a different perspective on what those people are going to learn through the course of their experience. appreciated that before. So, Russell?
Okay.
If you were to really sit down and try to screw it down tight on going platinum, which way would you rather do it? On three golds or six silvers?
Three golds.
So it doesn't really...
Because that's more powerful. It shows more commitment and more leadership with downline.
Which is easier to manage?
Three golds.
Which is easier to qualify every month?
Three golds.
Which one pays more?
Golds, I would say, yeah, because you're going to have twice as many, or three times as many silvers anyway.
Totally different building to build. You see, if you think about the six platinum silver, or six silvers platinum, it's almost that same mindset that makes people get to silver and squat for life.
Yeah.
Whereas when you think about getting three golds, it's almost as if you're beginning something. Now, I'm going to give you a really, like I said, an interesting introspection that I discovered about myself. Although I've created three first level platinum, I have a very, very distinct gold ceiling in my teaching. And that's just something that I've discovered in the last 2 weeks. To the point where I've actually bailed on people within, once they start getting at gold or just beyond, moving out and moving on, not supporting in ways that I could support. And it was subconscious. I mean, certainly one would not, Russ, you wouldn't choose to say to Mike, well, I can only build, I mean, you're only allowed to go to gold and I'm going to do whatever I can to tear you apart when you get past that.
You wouldn't want to do that.
So, I do it. And it's very interesting with this perspective of those green sunglasses. That was my green sunglasses. And the people who went platinum, for example, my first platinum, which was Dick and Nancy Walker, they didn't know they had gone platinum. They just happened to have me working with so many of their silvers and wits that one went, and that was the sixth one, and they went platinum. The second one was Jan Davis, and they did it all on platinum or on silvers too. And Jan's famous for doing 20 silvers wide, but no golds. And then eventually, she and I worked together. We get some groups up to gold, but we weren't thinking in beyond, and they stopped right there. And then my third one, I got that group had four golds in it. The distributorship sold to somebody else. Someone dropped out, moved up two silvers up one generation, so they were sitting there with five, and all they had to do was to break one more silver. So she just had a big sales month with platinum. So you see, everything was designed just to go to platinum, and you know, that's a huge revelation for me. I mean, just to go to gold. Because what would you say when you think of guys like Van Blarikum, Dennis Williams, Bo Tanis, what is their ceiling? Well, I think Van Blarikum, they've all got a ceiling of Royal Diamond. Because they've got numbers and multiple numbers of Royal Diamonds in their group. So now both of you have to look into my business and tell me, how is it that I artificially create a ceiling at gold that doesn't allow somebody to go to Diamond or Royal Diamond.
But you've created a ceiling for other people not to get above that point?
Right.
Okay. And right now you said you have Dan Davis is a platinum. Walker's a platinum still, or they're a diamond?
They're platinum. My third one is Danny Robinson, but nobody sees her anymore. I'll tell you, this other odd thing about my distributorship is that there is no other distributorship in all of NECAN worldwide that we know of that has a diamond with all three platinums in the same town. In fact, I don't think there's more than, there's none of them that I can think of that even have two in the same town.
Walker's group, what's his structure for being platinum? Six silvers or three golds? What?
Yeah, it went six silvers as well.
Okay, and Jan Davis?
Six silvers. She's got about 13 silvers.
Okay, 13. But not all front line?
13 front line.
Oh, wow, yeah. Okay, so they're not all qualifying or what? They're back.
Doesn't matter. Can you go higher than, if you had 233 frontline silvers, what would your rank be?
Or stuck at or platinum leveling.
That's right.
Okay, so in my mind, I'm thinking that somehow when Walker's went platinum and then you started working on another leg, it's like Walker's were in the bank for you as a platinum. If you work with them more, it's like you might lose them. The sense of you're no longer capturing the money that's on the table in that leg.
Never thought of it in those terms.
What's that?
Never thought of it in those terms, but
okay, and then Dan Davis, well, it's like Walker's, you know, he's done, so I don't have to work with them now. Because, you know, they're established as a platinum, and then Jan Davis gets the platinum ship, and you work with her because she's very active and calling you all the time, but still, her depth is lacking. But it's like she's another coin in the pocket that's in the bank. And same thing in the third leg, but now you have to find a way to get to the second level there. And find out if there's any that are hot enough to push beyond just being a silver.
Well, now, here's another wrinkle to throw in all of it. I had one of those platinums sit down with me, two of them actually, and complain that, and the other one just isn't involved enough to know. If I was to go work with anybody within their group, I steal their loyalty to their upline platinum.
Work with them, they would no longer trust the platinum, or you discredit the platinum?
Yeah, it's kind of in a way discredit, but they just go, okay, well, here's somebody who is going to build my business for me.
Oh, okay. It's not like a partnership to help those people. They're people that you've taken over in their eyes.
Yeah, how do you think that develops? We end up in this kind of a place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of things that are starting to come out in the wash, and one of them is we already knew that it's if I go to visit Steve in Salt Lake City, Russell, do you think if I just went with full-on intent that I could get a couple of three? I could get him to silver. Do you think I could get him to silver if I was in his town?
Or?
If I went to Salt Lake City and I wanted to build Steve to silver and that was my whole goal, do you think I could do it?
I think you could build beyond that because now we are seeing that we need to focus at, you know, two more levels up, platinum. for Steve and myself. And at the same time as we're focusing, we're teaching other people to focus at that same level instead of, you know, your second level sticking at silver. We want them to focus at platinum also. Because if they focus at platinum, then like Dan Davis would be a diamond or even a royal diamond.
Yeah, you're not limiting what their possibilities are.
Right. And once they get that to that platinum ship mindset and gold or moving to gold, you're seeing the value of vision, I would say.
Have you ever been to one of the big events and marveled that somebody actually was a diamond? You go, what? That doesn't make sense. How come they're a diamond and I'm not? They aren't any different than me, or they don't know it as well as I do.
Yeah.
Well, if that is occurring, then maybe the only reason that they made it to diamond and you didn't was because their sponsor didn't either knew enough to leave them alone and let them grow, or their sponsor didn't know anything and made them mad and they grew anyway. Because they had to be strong enough to break out the old adage. Steve, do you remember the thing about the cocoon for the butterfly? What happens if you peel the cocoon to help the butterfly not struggle so hard?
Butterfly dies.
And why?
Doesn't have to struggle.
And what does the struggle do?
Builds toughness.
It does what?
It also builds strength and endurance.
And in the butterfly, the morphology is really kind of interesting, and this is just a side note, but every time it struggles to try to get out, it pumps more blood into the wings and eventually pumps the wings up like pumping up an air mattress. And if you don't allow it to struggle, it can't pump the wings up.
Right.
So we've got an entire group of people that we can get to silver, but we're getting them to silver in mass by going in and doing sales volume. We don't want to forget the sales volume. We're good at it. But can you see how that would get somebody painted in a corner, Steve?
Right.
Well, and then you say, we lost together. We got you to silver, and now I'm leaving town. Now you do it. Well, first off, they couldn't do it themselves in the first place, but they did do it together. And then how do they teach the next generation, and why would we expect that to grow? It's like what, Eric or Russell?
Yeah.
It's like what? You were going to make a comparison?
Well, that was me.
Oh.
Like the what happened? Tremendous.
Susan, yeah, I didn't hear anything. Couldn't hear anything, Steve. Could you repeat it?
You're completely out now.
Kind of lost him.
In and out there.
Put salt in his phone, poor guy.
So Russell, do you see the difference? I mean, I'm just kind of building this right now as we're sitting here thinking, but you and I want you to go platinum.
Right.
But they're very different things. Do we really want you to be platinum?
I really want to.
No, do we really want platinum to be what we get? I think we may state that, but what do we really want?
Freedom and independence that comes with that financial level.
Okay. So then we have to determine that just platinum is just a way of saying we're going to build a blue one instead of a red one. There'll be certain things we do to make a blue one. And platinum just happens to be some way to measure it. But if we're going to go for dollar value, let's play with that for a second. Because isn't that really the crux of all of this? Somebody asked a great question the other day. I'm trying to think what it was. It was something on the order of, it was on the order of what would you be doing right now if money and time was no object, or Darn it, I wish I could remember. It was a small twist on that one, but basically, if you were retired today, or if you won $150 million today, would you go back to your work tomorrow?
Probably not. Actually, when I worked at Del Monte's, I told them if I won the lottery, I'd come in here and just sit around and see how long it takes to figure out how to fire me. Just to kind of rub salt in the wound. Well, this had nothing to do, so I come down and clocked in. That was the old days, but...
Well, this is so much clearer to me about intent plus mechanism equals results. We spent a good deal of time on that in our Brian Clemmer seminar.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
This is Ruffle. Was there any way that any of that was recorded or videoed or what Brian Clemmer stuff?
Yeah, he's got all kinds of videos and audios and books and all kinds of stuff.
Okay, so he sells that stuff.
Yeah, so I'll get you some stuff.
Okay, well, that's what I was thinking about. Maybe I should try to go to the Bellevue Rhythm because they're going to have that workshop afterwards with one of his associates running Ryan Clemmer.
I think you'd be profoundly affected by it. If you can get there, I would definitely do that. But let's take a look at this for just a second, because all of a sudden the whole horizon is beginning to clear up for me. We really don't want to be platinum, do we?
No.
So how can you create a whole lot of intent for something that's just a word?
Right.
And if you can't, if there's no intent, then the mechanism doesn't matter and you won't do it anyway. And you could be tonight, tomorrow, the next day, and 10 years from now, and it doesn't matter enough to change it. So what would the intent be in 30, if we said 90 days from now, and we just hang the name Platinum on there, what would be meaningful? Would it be platinum? Would it be... What would have meaning to you?
I think you've got to break it down into what it takes to do that.
Ah, Steve, that's perfect. That's exactly backwards.
It's going to take you 90 presentations to get the gold.
But you know what's interesting? That's mechanism plus intent equals result. And the point being, and this is that one that's going to, consistently belabored, is what is the intent? And the intent is an emotional intent. And the word platinum has no emotion to it for most people. There might be somebody for whom platinum has a tremendous emotional attachment because it was a memory of a time and place or some significant, just that word turns on all the switches for them. But it can't create enough intent for the mechanism to start to build itself. I don't know that that's clear yet to you, Steve, but watch. Let's just keep working here with Russell for a second. Russell, 90 days from now, you can just sort of feel a sense of, oh my gosh, this is the best thing because I accomplished it. What really comes to your head?
It was worth the suffer.
If time and money was no object, what was that you said?
It was worth the suffering to get there.
Okay, so what is it?
The financial level.
And how much is that? What number in your head? What emotional number do you sense when you think of that?
Thinking $15,000 a month.
Okay. And then, what is it? When you say $15,000, what do you sense or feel?
I think it's more logical, so I guess it would be sense and feel are both emotional.
Right, and those are the things that'll drive you. Logic won't. And that's Glemmer's point, is that there's three levels at which we can accomplish things. The smallest, and we used to believe that it was the biggest, is your head and the cortical and how you process information. But it is not strong enough to overcome the difficult times. And if you have other things that get in the way of priorities, you will slip back into old habits and you'll stop doing it. So the head part is the weakest. The next part, he calls it the elephant. If you imagine three circles, like a snowman, the first one is the smallest, the next one is larger, can be quite a bit larger, and the bottom one, which is really represented as a half circle, as if the snowman were laying flat on it, or that bottom part was flat on the ground, is the biggest and by far the most powerful. The top is your head, the second one is your subconscious mind or your heart, and it's a big idiot. It doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. It just knows what your head tells it. It knows what it knows. And the third one is God working through you. And if you, as you begin to allow or direct, he says it's like having a little boy on an elephant at the circus with a stick and ride up on top of that elephant. And if the elephant is maybe going to move some great big bricks or logs or something, you can do it all day long. If the boy just taps the stick here and then taps the stick there to direct the elephant. But if a boy got down off the elephant and began to try to do those jobs by himself, he'd be worn out, couldn't even move the first log. See the analogy?
Mm-hmm.
So that it directs, but the heart has to do the work. The heart has to do the driving. So the emotion attached to repetition is what causes change. And one of the reasons that we could go 90 days from now and neither of you would be at the levels of anything more than what you currently are today is because there's a trade-off. And Mike Russell already mentioned it, that it was worth the suffering, and that is, what is the suffering? In other words, what are you willing to give up to get to that point? And the way Clemmer presents stuff is really gives a very strong perspective that there is no such thing as right or wrong in any of this. It just is that a choice that makes the most sense. He said whenever we make a choice in our lives, we should make a comparison of what are the gains and what are the losses. And mostly he talks about what are the gains and what are the gains. And he has a tendency to do everything from a win-win side of the coin. So what, and this is one of those that just rip your sunglasses off of you. So Russell, what would be the benefits, the gains, of having $15,000 a month 90 days from now?
The momentum.
Great. Keep going. Whip out three or four benefits.
Two would be the education level, those following you. So developing leaders.
Okay. Are you allowed to have any benefit yourself? Because now you've given benefits to the group. This is interesting, just seeing how you see it. Yeah, it's just interesting, isn't it?
I look into the future as a year ago I thought I was as busy as I could ever handle it. And now it seems like I'm, you know, at another third busier. And in 90 days, if I was black, we'd have to make sure that developing leaders that could do it on their own, otherwise we'd be doing it all myself and probably have chaos beyond reason.
Yeah, okay, you're exactly, oh, this is so exciting, I'm seeing it. Because you're doing the second part of the exercise already, but you keep telling me you only have two benefits that would come from you having standing on that platform at $15,000 a month 90 days from now. Give me some more benefits.
Satisfaction that developed others into successful points. That I used to call them waypoints, that they are progressing to replace you.
Fascinating. Do you see it, Steve?
Yep.
Do you see what he's doing?
Uh-huh.
Very interesting. Very, very good, Russell. This is quite an interesting study. What's the number one thing you keep coming back to that you lack in your life?
You want to hear a grown man cry?
It's time, right?
Time, absolutely.
What would it be like if you're making $15,000 a month in residuals 90 days from now? Your glasses that you're seeing this through are telling you that what it would be like is adding more to your already busy schedule.
Right. And now I have to undo the back end that's
okay, so if that's
on my leg.
If that's what you're seeing as the benefits of having $15,000 a month 90 days from now, what are the benefits of, and this is the way we look at it differently, what are the benefits of not having $15,000 a month 15 or 90 days from now? Standing at platinum, being done with the run. What are the benefits?
Writing that down.
You have the time? What was that?
I was just writing that question down, so.
Okay.
I go back to look at it, I can go, whoa. Okay, because it asks me more sometimes when I go through my notes. The one, staying the same, what do you call it?
Well, if you are 90 days from now at the same earning level and the same Nikan group size as you are today, what are the benefits of staying where you are now as opposed to moving to that higher position?
Not super demanding, let me say.
Okay, good.
You're not
stealing more of that valuable time. Put that down. What's the next one?
Family.
Okay, you're not giving up family time. What's another benefit of staying where you are? It's familiar, isn't it?
That's what I have for number one. It's familiar. I guess staying the same, familiar.
Okay.
Three, I have to look at myself in the mirror.
That's a benefit?
Well, you didn't say good or bad benefit.
Okay. Now, can you sense in what we just did any compelling drive to change what you're currently doing?
Yeah.
There really isn't any. Because as you spoke, the benefits of having $15,000 a month, they were all spoken as more difficult and more irritating than your current life status. Did you realize that?
Kind of, yes.
Steve, did you pick that up?
Yeah, but I just wonder because that's just because I haven't been there. I would think if you had the benefit of the larger group and more of a team, and that team should take some of the pressure off. Yes, you have more people, but yet because of other, if you build your business right and you build the other people to think for themselves and, you know, build for themselves and think for themselves, then you shouldn't have to be the one that has the monkey on your back, and I would think that even though you're dealing with more people, it should be such that you're the guy that gives the tip for that, and you know, and is the expert who needed, but yet everyone else should take some of the pressure off. And maybe I'm all wet with that thought process, but I would think if you build your leaders right, you know, instead of having everybody like Mark, going back to Marty Jeffrey, when he was the number one guy and everybody wanted him to talk to everybody, that put a lot of pressure on him. But if you build your team right, you should be able to sit back and a little bit more and change the focus that you have. And just like you're doing right now, you're changing your focus and teaching the people under you how to do the things that you're doing so you can do other things.
Russell?
Yeah.
You saw this early on. You know, I'm trying to think, 20 years ago, you saw the power of duplication of people.
Right.
And you've seen the 45-second thing, and you've seen the 10 napkin presentations, and you've seen the one a month. Those somehow continue to spark a sense of possibility in your head, or you wouldn't have stuck with this so long. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Yes. I see it. I see it has huge potential, and it also, I think it exemplifies, call it the American dream, that you can control your own destiny.
But the statement that you make when you say that is actually inspired and filled with confidence and makes it seem like something worthwhile, both probably to you because I feel it. But the practical day-to-day application of building an ECAN business does not have that same sense to you, because when you speak, what would it be like to have 15,000 a month, you just imagine this incredibly burdensome group of Tooties and Nancys in your life that you're taking care of, and Mike's mother.
Yep.
So as long as you visualize that, guess what you're going to get?
Visualize. That's why, you know, when you ask, would it be better to have six silvers to become a platinum or three golds to become a platinum? See, the three golds to become a platinum as more independent businesses that you helped get started versus six silvers that are still very demanding or clean, you could say.
Yep. Liberated.
See the strength in old ships being having the strength. I mean, it'll probably happen the other way, because to create a gold or three golds take a lot of work, and in the steps of creating three golds, I think six silvers will appear without you realizing it.
It all depends on vision and intent.
Yes.
Because if you were to start building a house with the same intent you just gave me for building three golds, you'd go, well, who knows, it might grow a couple extra bedrooms before we get down. I don't got any idea. Then it'll likely have a couple or three more bedrooms and some really odd places and not look so good and probably go over budget, be architecturally unsound. But if you have a clear vision to work towards something, you could just as easily build it with three golds because you intended to as you ever could to build it with six platinums by accident. And that is all 100% about intent. And determining what is that intent. And then if the intent is there strongly enough, I've seen you do it. And this is a huge breakthrough for me to hear you do a couple things. Just a minute ago, I have these things in my head where I've seen you actually more effectively pull a group of parents together and get them all working without you having to do all the work than I've ever done. Left to your own devices, and when you talk about the leverage, you talk about the business side of what NECAN is, you see it more clearly than I do. But as what causes a gold cramp in my group's business is that if you start to see something clearly, and I say, yeah, but, or, so you really mean is, we had a practical example of that in our house. Someone one time got me to a point where I wasn't really putting up my 25-foot thick concrete block wall, and they asked me what I really thought would be an exciting stretch in NECAN. And I said, well, what I'd love, what I could see that would just crank me up is to be one of the top three largest NECAN businesses worldwide in 3 years. And when I said it, I kind of felt giggly inside. It felt like, bring it on. Just cue it up. And I, however, had built a larger part of my business and focus on what my wife thought than what I did. And so she's the practical one. And she said, oh, come on now. That's reaching, you know, maybe we could work together to get top 10, but come on, not top 3. Are you kidding? So I wrote down on the sheet, okay, it's all right, we'll go for top 10. So I did neither of them. And so if I'm the type of leader that doesn't allow you to, if I can motivate your vision,
getting cramped,
and inspire you in that vision as opposed to saying, no, you just don't see it like I do, then you'll pull back. Interesting. I don't know if you had as many ahas through that as I did, but I sure did. This whole process. It's very clear that you're where your intentions intend you to be. Because your time is stretched so thin and your resentment is high.
It is. I when you call it that, I realize it's that. It is, yes. So I have to break that within myself.
Well, only if you want to. Because you have to say,
you got to recognize that helps, though.
Yeah, exactly. You have to say, what are the benefits to what I'm currently doing? And do I perceive that the benefits of changing are better benefits? And if they're better benefits, then I'll create an intention to move there. And that intention means I fully intend. I mean, and you are looking back from it to say, well, I'm here because I intended to be here. Not I'm here because I wanted to be here. You intended to, so you did it. And that's this idea of being fully intent and giving yourself full permission to do that. Because that's another thing that was just speaking loudly and clearly when you were speaking of the benefits that you would gain from being at $15,000 a month. None of the benefits were in anything but service mode. Because I'm at that level, other people will be able to enjoy a better life. And that's a martyr syndrome that's built into you, like it's built into me.
Right.
So you don't take care of yourself, which you actually take care of yourself more poorly than I take care of myself, which means that your resentment has to be the size of the Russian continent. And that's just so much baggage to prevent you from moving. And it's a matter of stepping away and saying, okay, I'm getting some benefit from being a martyr, or I could be getting other benefits by not being a martyr. Why do I continue to choose those benefits to remain in that martyr position? Maybe it'll, you know, there's this real weird thing about being a martyr, and I know Steve's saying doggone thing, so, but is that I'll tell you what, if I give up more, I suffer more, I do more things, then maybe she'll notice and quit complaining. But it's a complete, total self-defeating prophecy. Martyrdom, I think all of us can say, martyrdom by strapping our bombs to your chest and blowing up schoolyards full of children is probably anti-productive.
Yeah.
But it's nonetheless martyrdom. If you can, any one of us could frame this in a way that says, absolutely, gain only for everyone else and none for me, I guess we could justify doing it. I'll just go back to working hard at it. We have these moments and twinges sometimes where we say, ooh, I'm going to sit here and dream for a second, but I'm not going to let anybody see it. And then I better put it away and go back to smashing my thumb with this nutcracker here, because for some reason we see a benefit from doing that. We have to determine, are the benefits worth it to change? Or are the benefits better not to change? Looking at it from a win-win scenario. Once those benefits are established and you commit to a direction with full intention, you can do whatever you want to. You can accomplish anything, and that's the hard part, because for all three of us, the word want is, we could say it flippantly, but if we think about it, oh, I'm not supposed to want. I'm a white male, which means that I murdered all the Indians. I took away all the native people's rights to life. I determined that there was right and wrong in the world. I'm the type of person who represents the entire group of males who rape people. We're the ones that go in and crusades and kill everybody else, and we're the ones that set up the banking systems, and we're the ones that we accept that mantle. And what Brian Klemmer is trying to tell me is, I accept that idea, that set of sunglasses, okay, because it has some benefits. What are they? And are they really what I think the benefits should be? Because for the most part, on the crappy stuff in our lives, we just go, I don't want to look at the negative, so I'm not gonna think about it. I'm just gonna go on doing what I currently do. So what he's doing is switching around, saying, okay, so what are the positives? So you actually will assess it and say, that's not a good idea, I don't want to go that way anymore, so I'm gonna change the direction. Does that make any sense, Russell?
Conscious programming that's been pumped in there for centuries into male. By mail.
Yeah. And that's why we're now currently in a perfect position to get completely knocked off and wiped off the face of the earth. They just say, okay, you guys did all that. I want you to all stand as a group right next to the cliff. When I count to three, you all jump off. We're fighting back pretty hard, aren't we? So we say there's great benefit in doing that, or maybe there's not great benefit in doing that, but at least there's more benefit in doing that than what we can perceive, and that is if we choose to receive, if we choose to gain benefit for ourselves, there'll be more condemnation, so the benefit is don't receive, you won't get any bad condemnation. Thus, there won't be anybody going platinum in 90 days. Too much work. Already to the point of complete exhaustion from martyrdom and the sense of having to duty. And there's some important benefits that come from that. It's interesting. Very interesting.
Well, thinking back, I don't know if you want to keep going in this direction we're in right now. I'd like to go back to the benefits of the 15,000 and the benefits of not having the 15,000.
Yeah.
And that kind of plays in. You know, we did a little bit of training last night at Mike's when we did the little book club thing that he wants to do, which is good because it brings us together what I took it into in the training level afterwards, and I brought up Hilton Johnson's steps that he does. So the first one, and I made a copy of the, you know, what I've written down through step seven is, but I haven't finished the rest of the steps. But step one is buffers. So it breaks a person's mental thought that you're trying to sell them something first. Then easy action gives them the relief that you are giving them the control to say, enough's enough, or I want to buy, or I don't want to buy. And basic qualifying question, number three. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Ah, it's going good.
Then go into the problem stage with the MAP formula, M for motivation, A for takeaway, E for problem, and T for probing into each problem. And from that, after we find out their problems and have probed into those problems in the key areas, then we go into the emotional mindset of what he called it because I don't have it in front of me. But if you can't get what you want, how are you going to feel about that 5 years from now? You can tell me what that state is called if you remember.
I have been to too many things since. Too many things since, so I can't remember.
But as we draw into that part of it, okay, what is it going to be like? You're still doing the same job now, and you know that you could have been CEO of $100,000 a month business. How are you gonna feel? Know that you could have changed that, but you're still working your 40-hour week job, and you're making your $35,000, $50,000 year job. How are you going to pace yourself? You know, so you're triggering that deeper emotion level.
Okay. Yeah, powerful stuff.
And this is where the real power of the whole thing is right here, is that getting that emotion level. So in area one is financial. Area two is job satisfaction. Area three is free time. Area four is personal health. Which he didn't get into personal health very much to break that down or explain it very well.
Yeah, well, you could figure that one out pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, then after we go through that, so you're like having them look inwards and tearing themselves apart, that I'm going to feel like crap if I don't do this. Then we turn around, the next part of it is the future of, okay, say that you do this. And your way of doing it is saying that, say this goes crazy in the next year, you are making $1,000 a month. What's your life to look like? You start painting those pictures and getting the dream back after you figure the emotional level that I don't have what I want. The worst way, emotional level, turn around and you did have it. Where would you go fishing? Canada? The Gulf? Does he put this? If you like to fish, if you like to travel, where would you travel? What would you see? Would you be with? What would you do? And then those two emotional steps, I think, if we can learn how to do those, control any situation in any crowd or one-on-one.
Absolutely, I believe that. And I believe it in your hands more than anybody I've ever heard it. Steve, are you convinced that he believes in this method of giving people, helping them discover their own permission to do it?
Right.
Uh-huh. I mean, you're a master at it, Russell. A master.
It might have come from, I know that those steps are so key, but mentally I couldn't keep them all together. And Ken Hankins was here this last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about when he came back from Australia and the jet lag he had, he was just lugging around, not being efficient or anything. And he said, Donna said, here, take these, and told him and handed him 8 mental clarities. Okay, and he said in a half hour, he said his mind was crystal clear, and it's like he's focused again.
Oh.
So I took 5 Friday, and I took 5 yesterday, and he only took 3 today because it was like last night, like trying to close my eyes, it felt like there were springs in them. I couldn't close them. but I was on fire, mentally on fire, and I think I was holding it together better than I have in 10 years. So, just reiterating that, those steps to you helps me build it again.
And build you.
Build myself that I have permission to know how to do it and keep those steps together.
Oh, my gosh. This has been absolutely huge because I can see where all the time I've been saying, well, there's this method and there's you follow this and Russell, you guys do this. And you keep saying, well, how do I do it? Well, do this. No, it's not what you do. It's who you be. And you are now, you're giving yourself permission to be pretty darn amazing in a couple of different categories. And I'm also giving you permission, and I'm sitting back going, this is one of the coolest conversations we've ever had.
Yeah.
And I feel really good about putting you in charge of a lot of things. And guess what? I'll release it. You'll take it. Everybody grows. And then I need to teach you to do the same release for your people. Just be amazed at the great stuff they do in their way. As opposed to saying, here's a bunch of things that are available in a general formulation of how we do it. Oh, man, this is huge. You're on here as the outside observer all the time. And to me, I'm just gaining all kinds of knowledge and information and all that stuff at your expense. So I appreciate that. But do you see what we're actually going through right here as a relationship between sponsor and new superstar?
Sure. It's a situation where the communication is open, and to me it's, I'll go over it, half a dozen times this next week, and then it'll be mine.
Do you sense that I trust Russell?
Right.
And that I could send him into any marketplace and I would trust him to be able to pull it off?
Sure.
Do you think Rooney trusts you in the same way?
No.
Do you think I trust you in the same way?
Well, I think that in the past, I've proven myself not to be very trustworthy, and so he just gives up real easily, and I give up real easily with him, and so it's just a situation that if there's going to be something there, I've got to prove myself,
there has to be a reason for having a team.
Right.
May I take
that? It's a situation like when, I can't remember how many. When we went back to the pure Pathfinder thing like it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we had we'd have 9 people in the group, and we'd be broken down into teams of 3, and we were supposed to get together, talk during the week, plan things out and such like that, and it drove me crazy because nobody would get together. No one would talk. And then pretty soon we were down to 3 people on the call like we are now, as opposed to 10 people on the call.
Well, I have a really interesting perspective on that right now because I'm on a group of people. Would you guys be stoked if you had to be on a call every week that was a bunch Diamonds and Royal Diamonds, just saying, how are we going to get to Royal Diamonds? I mean, that's our support group, right?
Yeah.
But the group I'm with, Ray Schwab, love him to death. He's a great guy. He's hilarious. I love what he does. There's so many good things about Ray Schwab. But Ray and I have been mandated by the group to get together every week, and we're supposed to call each other Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to do it because I don't have any buy-in personally to what are we going to get from it. On the other hand, Terry and I, he calls me 4 times a day.
Yeah.
And I'm all over talking with him 4 times a day because we're visualizing getting something done. Where when I talk to Ray, we sit around and talk about how we're developing liver spots. There's no use to it. So unless there is an intention, and our intention, I think Terry's intention is to create out of the two groups partly next year's Distributor of the Year. But that's a small part. The bigger part is to change the entire direction of network marketing worldwide to set up the future, to make rock star money, to be able to teach people, anybody that wants to learn it, to blow off all the limitations and become something 1,000 times bigger than their brain could ever even have originally imagined. He wants the mechanism set.
Yeah.
I can buy into that kind of stuff, but for me to sit around and say, I'm going Royal Diamond, and Ray, my friend here, is going to help me stay on track for getting my 5. Hogwash.
Yeah. Hey, Jerry.
Yeah.
If I may, going back to Steve, when you said that, you know, you kind of had a breakdown of the you're trusting each other, maybe, with Greg Rudy. All right?
Great.
Okay. Remember this, in network marketing, every day is a new day for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah, and I know that, and that's why I keep coming back at it.
Yeah. All you need to do is call him and say, hey, I really want to do this.
Right.
Which I've done a few times,
and we haven't made it work. So, but, you know, it's not saying that we're not going to do it again. It's just saying, you know, I'm not putting fault on Greg. I'm putting fault on myself. But you know, it's like, oh, I just had a thought here a second ago I was going to bring up. But it's basic to me. I have to want it. And
yep.
It's very interesting from the standpoint that, as Jerry said about 3 or 4 weeks ago about a person that we were talking about, he said that when it came down to the certain point in the presentation and he asked this other person what they visualized and there was no visualization. And so he had to stop and back up and go around and wait for him to build. Remember saying that, Jerry?
Yep.
Okay. For myself, where I'm at is the fact that I was so, by the time, number one, I found NECAN, and then because of certain things along the way, I had totally forgot. I mean, I literally, my wife says, well, where would you, if you had all the money in the world that you, you know, where would you want to live? I don't know. Where would you want to travel? I don't know. I mean, I just flat out just so totally turned off the dreaming. The dreaming was so far gone that I had walls that were 500 feet high.
Russell, does that sound familiar?
Oh yeah, I've been pounded down.
And you only have about a half inch on each side, and every wall is 500 feet high.
Yeah. And you haven't been able to dream yet.
The interesting thing is that Clemmer is teaching. What Clemmer is teaching is. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's why about a month or 2 months ago, I just stopped doing a lot of stuff and just started concentrating on a whole bunch of stuff that was just putting pressure on me to get the pressure off So then I have a road to go instead of being caged.
Well, you're starting to be somewhat proactive instead of only reactive.
That's right.
Just reacting to everything in life. Oh crap, it's raining. Oh crap, I'm getting a sunburn. Oh crap, it's snowing. Well, look, let's get proactive here and say that tomorrow it doesn't matter if it rains because we're going to build some structure here.
That's right. You know, and to me it's so exciting to be able to have something that I can say, okay, go here, go there, and I know where I can take somebody now.
Well, and the key is you have to know what they're going to get. If you were working at a hardware store, it's fun to give people instructions if you know that what they really need is they need a diverter for the bathroom sink, and then everything is going to be great because you feel like a hero doing it. But
right.
If you don't understand what they need or what direction they want to go, you can give them all kinds of directions all day long. All I think it is ours is an irritation.
Right.
So we're really about now trying to come down to, can you, Russell and I meet, and we all meet, Steve included, at a juncture that says, wouldn't it be cool for us to be sitting on an island next year at this time? Maybe we'd have to go to our place over in Kauai. It's pretty nice. And the three of us are sitting there just before sunset. It's, typical 78 degrees, as it always is. A little breeze coming in. We were watching some of these guys right off the point, the world-class, they call them kite surfers, are out there. We can see the kids out diving for shells. The water's crystal clear, and you can see the big mountain off into the background, and the warm breezes, and we don't have to be anywhere at all. And we're discussing, what did we accomplish this last year? And here we are, and Russell brings up, you want to know the weirdest part, he says? We just decided this afternoon that we wanted to stay another week because they were going to have the Outrigger Canoe Festival, and they gave us a chance to paddle outrigger canoes just for the fun of it. So we just decided to stay another week, and it doesn't matter. Russell, what would that be like? You wouldn't have to call home. You wouldn't have to, or you could just say, we're staying another week. Don't be afraid. We're staying another week. What would that be like, Russell?
That would be a calm feeling.
And to think,
be able to be at peace that you could do that.
And we were sitting around. We'd say, let's just pull out the pictures again. And we'd say, here are 35 families. Let's lay them all out on the sand so we can see them. They make over $100,000 a year doing NECAN right now. And it's as a result of something that we put together. What does that vision do?
It gives me goosebumps.
Can you see how once you have that intention, if we all agreed on an intention like that, you would be absolutely stoked about figuring out what can I do to do my part to get this thing rolling. And you would come up with incredible ideas in immense ways in helping people get there. But without it, we would sit back and say, well, if somebody came along and showed me, I guess I could copy it. How many times has that happened in our NECAN careers? The tools are all laying there. We can make anything we want. We just have not given ourselves permission to want or to believe that it's okay to use the tool. And not only okay, but the world is a far bleaker place today because we never did. And what if we could teach fathers and dads and our own kids as they become fathers and dads how much value that really has?
Wow.
And that there's total freedom with it. So, okay, guys, let's jump in the Jeep, and we're going to head back to Hanalei, the little town there. And we're going to lay on the beach and watch an old Gilligan movie tonight because that's what's on.
I'm in.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Steve, are you in?
Yes, sir.
All right.
So now we have to just, I want us to think about that this week, and that is the benefit of that stuff as good as the benefit of the martyrdom? If not, then start the processes in motion and continue to come back and say, what is it we're working toward? And it'd be done. We have the vehicle. We just don't believe it. We're standing in the field of diamonds, and it's just gold bars and diamonds. And we say, don't touch that. God keeps saying, take it all. Go do good. Immensely. And when you take it, three more will be put in its place. And we're saying, can't take that. I got to poke this fork into my face some more.
Good what?
I got to poke this fork into my face some more.
Oh,
stop. All right, guys, I love that vision. Let's go do it.
Yeah. That's thought of, you know, calling in, say, hey, I'm going to be another week or 2 weeks before I'm back. Makes me think of Wolfgang, his story about being in Bahamas or somewhere.
Yeah.
And his wife got food poisoning or got real sick. Three other families got real sick. And the other ones, even though they were CEOs of their company, they could only stay 2-3 days to a week before they had to go back to keep their business functioning. He was able to stay he said he could stay 3 to 5 months, not even be concerned with going back to be at his wife's side, even though it was out of country.
Isn't that interesting?
Huge power in that.
The vision in that? Would people buy that vision? Stated that way?
Yes. You stated that way.
Okay.
As a business owner, I think they're seeing the value of something else other than what they're doing.
If you were able to state it that way, would there be as many benefits as avoiding it so you wouldn't bother somebody? You know, those are the things that we have to measure those benefits of staying where we are as opposed to staying where we could be. Hey, Russell?
Yo.
Let's just, let's say, what is this? You know how it goes into, start getting cold and stuff? Let's take 3 weeks in January and, teach our sons how to fly fish some of those trout streams down in New Zealand.
Cool. Yeah.
Because it's warmer there.
Yeah, and I think my son wants to shoot.
And then when we get back, then we'll put them back to work because they have to learn how to do. And then you and I will go and discuss it on a raft trip down the Colorado River. Planning for the growth and development of our other 16 states that we're going to be opening in the next couple of months. You're right. It's better to have some naggy person come and call you to do a 12-hour job in the cold.
good painting.
Crawling in an attic. Insulation, choking.
There you go. All right, guys. Appreciate you more than you know. Thanks for having us.
Goodbye now.